Yeah, my name is David Feldman. I'm a licensed family and marriage therapist here in Chicago. I do work with clients all over the world. My mission is to help anybody who wants to have a fantastic and great marriage. And I appreciate everybody who follows me on Twitter or reads my blogs or listens to my podcasts or hears my YouTube videos, watches my YouTube videos. I really appreciate that. And I hope that the message that I give out is something that resonates with you and that I'm helpful to you and your spouse in having a fantastic relationship. Okay, so today's spaces is based off of a tweet that I did on Friday. I'm not sure if anybody here had a chance to see that tweet. Basically, it was a cutout of a New York Times article with a picture of a very beautiful woman on it in her late 30s. And the title of the article that I retweeted was, "I'm 37, single, and happy about it." And what I did is I quote retweeted that and I said, "I don't wish that happiness on anybody. Have a nice weekend." Okay. It wasn't the most positive of my tweets. I think if you follow me, I'm usually more upbeat, more accepting, loving, and connecting. But I felt very compelled to re-quote tweet that message. And if you follow the thread on that tweet, it got some attention. If you follow the thread underneath that tweet, you'll see that a lot of people were, I wouldn't use the word upset, but they were either disappointed or they objected to to my message, you know, that I wouldn't wish that happiness on anybody. And so I decided today to make a space called Can You Be Single and Happy? And I wanted to address, you know, some of the misinformation regarding this concept of being single and happy, and specifically about my tweet. And I think this topic, it goes beyond being single and happy. And I think if some of you have seen some of my earlier tweets today, I did mention the idea that so much of what we're doing here on Twitter, especially in this space, is we're fighting a spiritual battle, right? This isn't just people's opinion, in my opinion. Now, I may be singular in this. I think people like Leela would agree with me, and I appreciate her presence, that we're not just here to share opinions, at least some of us. Some of us are here because we are interested in changing the narrative around relationships. And that's part of what my feed is about and part of what my tweet is about. So let's get on to this particular topic. Can you be single and happy? Okay. Well, the quick answer to the question of can you be single and happy is, of course, you can be single and happy. Of course, there's no question about that. People derive happiness from so many different activities. People find tremendous purpose in work. Some of the greatest inventors and people who have contributed the most to the progress of humanity were single. Nikola Tesla is an example of somebody who was like that. I believe Mozart was single his whole life. And the list goes on. So there's no question that you can be single and happy. People find happiness in religion. There was a gentleman who may be here today who mentioned that in, I believe he was referring to Catholicism, actually glorifies the idea of being single. I'm not sure he's totally right, and maybe somebody here can correct me eventually, because I think the idea is that you're married to God, so you don't look at yourself really as single. But that's okay, meaning I still respect that opinion and understand that there are people who believe that. And people find tremendous happiness through spiritual pursuits. Maybe monks do out in the Far East. I don't know. People find happiness through charity and doing acts of kindness for other groups of people and for others, right? And maybe they dedicate their life to helping those less fortunate than themselves, and they find tremendous meaning and pleasure through that endeavor, and they may be single, right? And of course, another area that we can talk about, and there are many more, but people find tremendous purpose meaning and happiness through pursuing art and music. Maybe it's sculpture, or maybe it's making a great song, or maybe it's making a tremendous painting. I don't even know how many of the great Renaissance painters and artists were single, right? And so can people find meaning and happiness in being single? Of course they can. There's no question about that. However, the reason why I pointed out this article wasn't to suggest that people can't be single and happy. The reason why I pointed out this article is that being happy that you are single, that's a dangerous message. That's something that a person like me is not going to stand by and let go without a comment. Even if it's unlike my loving and kind of accepting atmosphere that I put out on my tweets. Because we're not happy that we're single, right? That's something sad. And it doesn't mean you can't be, I was just going to keep repeating this over and over and over again. It doesn't mean that you can't be happy, but we're not happy that we're single, right? Why not? Why aren't we happy that we're single? What's the big deal? Who says we need to be in a relationship? Who says, I see this all the time online, you know, I'm not going to get my happiness from a man, right? No man is going to be my happiness. You know, it's almost like guilty as charged. The second I hear that, I almost feel like you're completely defining yourself by that statement. But that's okay. Let's just take it at face value. I'm not going to be, no man is going to be the source of my happiness, right? Almost as if a relationship is something tertiary to our, not even secondary, tertiary to our lives. Like that we don't need, meaning I can be just as happy about my relationship status if I'm married, if I'm in long-term relationship, if I'm just bouncing around from bed to bed, or just choosing not to engage with a partner, right? This doesn't make any sense to me. Now, I understand that everybody has their own opinion, and I'm not speaking about anybody's particular, just want to make this very clear. I'm not speaking about anybody in particular. I'm talking about as a whole, right? As Tom Likas likes to say, we're broadcasting here. So I'm speaking in broad terms. I'm not here to challenge anybody about their particular belief about their personal satisfaction. Okay, but what I am here to do is talk about a message that we give to ourselves, that we share publicly with others, that our children are hearing and reading about, that our wives are hearing about. Right? This is infiltrating people's homes and affecting the way marriages are functioning today. And I know because those people are my clients. Right? So when we see something like this, it should ruffle feathers. You know? And so the question is, why not? Right? So what does it mean to be single? Well, let's just break it down. Let's say all things else in your life are equal. So you're very accomplished at work, and you're very athletic, and your body's in perfect shape, and you're healthy, and you have a great relationship with your parents, and you've got some wonderful hobbies on the side, and you dedicate some time every week to helping the poor. Okay, good. But so what does it mean to be single? Well, I came up with some ideas, and maybe some other people could share theirs as well in a few minutes. So just maybe you can think to yourself, like right now as I'm speaking, what your definition or how you see single. Well, the first thing is that you're not in relationship with a partner. Okay? You're not sharing your life with somebody else. So that means that you come home and you're alone. Right? You have no one to, I mean, you have friends, maybe you have friends online, but if you've been in a relationship, I think you know that there's a difference between even your best girlfriends or best boyfriends and a romantic relationship partner. So that means that you're alone, Okay. You're not sharing true intimacy. And I don't just mean sex, but that's part of it, right? So your body is lacking that aspect of life, right? You've foregone the idea, and again, I'm not someone who's temporary single. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad about being single, but I'm trying to drive home the point that being single is not something that we celebrate. So please forgive me. That's what I'm trying to say here. Most of us know this intuitively, but I'm just going to just state it because unfortunately it has to be said, right? Being single means not having somebody to build a life with, right? A legacy with. And all of that, all of the consequences and ramifications of that, children, family, grandchildren, the entire continuation of you and your values and the beauty of being surrounded by your kids and grandchildren. Okay, and then of course, as my friend Ariel pointed out, which I'm gonna give him a chance to speak in a few minutes, not connecting with another human being on the deepest soul to soul way. Right, not connecting with another human being in the deepest soul-to-soul way, right? Because part of connecting with another person, part of connecting with another person is reuniting, the deepest connection we have is reuniting both halves of your soul, which occupy two different bodies, right? So this is, in my opinion, this is part of what it means to be single. This is part of what somebody's missing out on. And of course, there's the fun and there's the other aspects as well. The idea that somebody's there to support you throughout your whole life, right? The idea that there's somebody there who you can, a shoulder to cry on, take care of you, a partnership. Of course, there's all those other things as well. But I'm just focused on these ideas for right now. And this is something to mourn. This isn't something to celebrate. Okay, this is not something that we cheer if somebody's missing any of this from their lives. And we all know this. We know this to be true. We know this from the most basic biological aspects of our creation. We long, a man looks at a woman and wants to be with her. Women naturally want to connect with men. This is something that's part of who we are as creations in the world, right? As a matter of fact, interestingly enough, the Torah, the Bible, commands only men to get married. There's no commandment of marriage for women. Why is that? Because it's explained that women were naturally created with a desire to unite with a man. That's their natural state. They don't need a commandment to want to be in marriage with a man. Men are a little bit aloof. We're a little bit, you know, dodo bird head a little bit, and we can get off of our purpose very easily. We could be any shiny object will take us to some sort of destination that we don't know. So God kind of says, okay, you know, I'm going to rein you in a little bit. I'm going to command you that this is something you have to do. Right, so this is something that we know socially. We feel the need to connect. I went to high school. I went to college. Everybody knows, right? Emotionally, our greatest fulfillment is that enjoyment is that unification with another person. The deepest connection that we form is with, as a man, I can for sure tell you that this is the deepest emotion. Many women think that sex by men is purely physical. He just wants to have sex with me, da 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 da. And as a counselor like Leela will tell you, or as a coach like Leela will tell you, that's not it at all. I mean, it's partially true, but there's a deep emotional fulfillment that we have when we connect with our partner. So on so many levels, we intuitively know that connecting and being in a committed long-term relationship, ideally marriage, is what we all long for and what we all yearn to do. right? So when we post things online saying I'm single and happy about being single, you're screwing people up. You're posting fake news. It's misinformation, like they're accusing other, you know, people on Spotify of doing. And it shouldn't go down. I had an argument with somebody today, you know, about, well, you have to be sensitive. And we're going to talk about that in a second. So what about somebody who says, well, I'm happy that I'm single because the last time I was in a relationship, it was horrible. And so thank God I'm single and I'm happy about it. Right? I've heard that, you know, and as a therapist and as a counselor, I don't blame people for feeling relieved from being out of a horrible relationship, right? We never want somebody to suffer. Somebody said, well, people in marriages are suffering. So who's to say they're not happier being single? That's a good point. You know, no one wants anybody to be in any situation suffering, right? But I think it's important for us to recognize that not being in a relationship because you were hurt in one is a defense mechanism. It's not your ideal state, and don't go advertising that as something that everyone should ascribe to. That's a defense mechanism, and I get it, and I don't want to take that away from anybody. It's like almost like if somebody says, well, you know, I'm happy being homeless. I'm homeless, and I'm happy about being homeless. Okay, that's a little odd. Why is that? Well, I owned a house once, and I put all my stuff inside this house, and it burnt to the ground. And it was so devastating for me, I just decided I'm not going to ever have a home again. I'm just going to live out in the streets, and I'm happy about that. I think most of us would intuitively say that they can understand the person's pain, but this is not where ideally the person should be. Right? True sympathy, true compassion for women who have been burnt in relationships is to validate their feelings, understand why they're in such pain, and help mitigate the problems that caused them to be there in the first place. It's not to burn down the institution of marriage and to vilify, not to vilify, but to pretend that their defenses against getting hurt has now become the new standard. I once got into a little bit of a Twitter spat. I think she has a lot more followers than me, so sometimes when I call it a Twitter spat, I think I was more like a little flea on her shoulder, but a mosquito taking a bite out of her, you know. But she wrote an article, I think it was last year, and she came out with this whole Twitter thing saying that monogamy is hardest on women, and that sex inside of a monogamous long-term relationship is most difficult for women. And what's her proof? Because most women don't, inside of a marriage, don't really, you know, a lot of women, I shouldn't say most, a lot of women don't achieve full sexual satisfaction inside of marriage. So therefore she says that monogamy is most tough on women, and that women who have relationships outside of monogamy have better sex lives. I mean, I don't know. That would seem like the most absurd thing I had ever heard. Almost ever heard. I've heard other more absurd things, but it was so absurd. It felt like my whole brain was being twisted around in a blender. It's just like, how could she say such a thing? And trying to pass it off as if this is the new female way of being, as if sleeping around from person to person is going to be the purpose of a woman's life and to bring her the most happiness. We need to stand up to this. We can't just let this, you know, we can't just let these messages go by without standing up for truth. So what about being sensitive to those who are currently single? What does it mean to be sensitive, right? being sensitive, like I said, is that we make space for people who are single. Of course, no one would ever point out or ridicule or make fun of or tear down or imply less than status on somebody who's single. But at the same time, we stand up for the virtue and the purpose and the mission of marriage or relationships, because you're helping that person. You're actually helping that person. You're actually making their life better, as much as they might not feel like it. You're actually making that person's life better by letting them know that, yes, they went through something difficult. Yes, they're believing such and such a thing right now, but that ultimately there's a lot to be gained by, as we discussed earlier, by being in a relationship, something that they'll never experience without being in relationship. Okay. I just want to add one more point to this, and maybe somebody else will bring this out as well. And then I'm going to let Ariel speak. So Ariel, I'm going to invite you to speak, and then I want you to just, you got to work on your Twitter to get yourself, your speaker to work. But people have a fantasy, you know, we've talked about this in other spaces, but people have a fantasy that marriage is somehow, you know, I was in a marriage and it was difficult, so I'd rather be single. Well, of course marriage is difficult. Of course marriage is difficult. What do you think is going to happen? You're basically going to take two strangers. I don't care how long you've been living together. You never know each other until you're actually married. You're taking two strangers. You're sharing the same bedroom. You're sharing your bodies with each other. You know, what do you think was going to happen? I mean, have you been poisoned by Disneyland so much that you actually believed that once you tied the knot, it was literally going to be happily ever after? If that's your mindset, then yeah, 100%, you're going to be happier being single. Because guess what? Marriage is nothing like that. Right? You're going to be happier being single. And somebody said to me, they said, well, why do you think she's lying if she says she's happy about that she's single? Somebody said that to me. She said, why do you think she's lying? Is there something that she said that makes you think that she's lying, that she's happier when she's single? I said, no, unfortunately, I don't think she's lying. And that's the most painful part. That is the problem. She's not lying. She actually thinks that being single is happier than being connected soul to soul in an intimate, personal, loving, supporting relationship with another person. Yes, that is the saddest part. And without pointing fingers, obviously, I'm going to only point fingers at myself. If people are walking around saying that, that's my fault. That's your fault. That there's a space for people to come out on the New York Times and say such a thing, that's the problem. Okay. Enough lecturing for one day. I'm sure we'll get some more conversations. I don't want to monopolize the whole time. I'm going to let my good friend Elizabeth, who requested to speak, share. Hi, Elizabeth.
Yeah, I'm so interested in this conversation, and it's something that I've talked a lot about with my husband. When I first met my husband, almost 6 years ago, and I was going into college for the first time, and I very vividly remember sitting across the table from my brother, who's 2 years older than me and already in college, and he said to me, like, why do you want to be in a relationship? Like, what's wrong with you? Don't you want to go to college and have fun? And, like, what are you doing being in a committed relationship with some guy when you're going to college? And like, that always stuck with me. And I've had so many conversations since then with my husband, and that guy did become my husband eventually. And I'm like, I just look back and I'm like, I saw so much pain and kind of honestly like misery amongst a lot of my friends in college from this kind of like hookup culture and being single. And I was in a very stable, healthy, happy relationship and growing alongside my boyfriend at the time who became my husband. And I really, like, I look back and I'm like, wow, my life was so much easier. And also, like, I experienced so much more growth because of that. And imagine if I had, like, just turn my back on the man that would become my husband because I was going to college. And that is supposed to be supposedly this idea of it's supposed to be a time of experimentation. And I think that a lot of this conversation also goes back to like this, for some reason, there's idea that our generation and this current generation has and holds really like strongly that being single is somehow better. And also I think it goes back as well to the fact that a lot of people don't think that you can experience growth and self-growth when you're in a relationship. And like in my case, and I probably a lot of people listening now, I experienced immense self-growth alongside my husband and he alongside me, and we did it together, and I always say we've grown in the same direction because of it, because we've helped each other overcome, you know, past traumas and work through things like that. And I honestly gone through some of that growth on my own, but I honestly think having someone to support me and love me through all of it kind of was what led to all of that growth. So I think that's also a huge misconception that you can't experience self-growth or kind of figure out who you are while you're in a relationship, a committed relationship or married to someone.
Liz, thank you so much for sharing. I always appreciate when you voice your opinion, and it's nice that we see eye to eye so often. That helps too. Just to touch on that last point about growth, you know, it is my take and my position that really you can only experience growth, healthy growth, through a long-term committed relationship. That's the only place you can do it. Because you can experience a lot of pain and disappointment and growth through what not to do in hookup relationships or short-term relationships. But true personal growth, where you're going from one level to the next, where you're working on your character and you're working on your understanding, things like patience, love, forgiveness, gratitude, delayed gratification, sacrifice, respect, personal responsibility, family responsibility. Where else does this happen outside of marriage? Where else does this happen unless the gates are locked? You know, when it's only when the gates are locked that we're forced to face ourselves, which is the ultimate challenge. Yes, did you want to share something?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, thanks for talking.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Sorry, I'm just going in this room. So I just wanted to, like, this is kind of like something I'm constantly debating with myself. I'm 24, by the way. And like, I just going back to the title, can you be single and happy? I feel like for me, it was like a little easier before I knew what it was like to have that fulfillment of like a good relationship and like how it can like change what you want to achieve and how you want to achieve it, if you get what I'm saying. And then like, okay. And then going back into like, now I'm currently single again. And it's like, I'm always thinking like, is this the time that I'm supposed to like, just be focusing on like getting back to not needing that thing? Or am I just going to be this way forever? You know, it's more so of a question that I'm asking, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I love that. That's a really good personal insight. And, you know, in my journey, just to share, and maybe other people can share theirs, it looks like Elizabeth kind of found her match and ran with it, which is really nice. I, you know, before I tie the knot with my wife, I had, you know, specifically with her, gone back and forth. Basically, she dumped me several times before she agreed to marry me. So, oh, wow. There's always those periods of growth. But one thing which I think is really important is that in terms of establishing for ourselves a proper mindset is that these periods of self-growth that we do between relationships, they're for the sake of being better eventually at being in a relationship. And that's
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask, are you saying that? Okay, so that's another thing. Am I improving for the relationship that, like, for example, you were back and forth with your current wife, right?
Yes.
Before you guys tied the knot. So, like, in that time, I'm basically in that in-between time, but I keep, like, having this thing, like, is this in-between time for me to grow for the relationship I was just in or for the next one? And how will I know which one's for which? I don't, if you get what I'm saying. It's, like, really hard to...
Yes, yes, so for sure. None of us have a crystal ball, so therefore we don't know what's coming around the corner, right? But everything that God does, every aspect, every day that you're, you know, alive and experiencing the world is an opportunity for you to grow. And one thing which I would encourage you to do is, if you have a chance, is to take a look and say, you know, what went right in my previous relationship and how do I strengthen that? And what went wrong in my previous relationship and how do I eliminate that? So maybe you thought back and you said to yourself, you know what? I wasn't as good of a listener as I could have been. Or maybe you say to yourself, you know what? I really pushed her too far. Or maybe you say to yourself,
I didn't know how to... the hardest part. We're going to stop you there. All those questions about the what ifs are exactly what they are when you're talking about investments and long-term situations.
You mean like it's difficult?
It's difficult to, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure it's difficult. And what we want to do is we want to ask ourselves, you know, we just want to ask ourselves, how could, you know, how can we have made the situation? How can we improve upon where we came from and then grow into the next relationship that we're going to have? So I'm going to let Ariel, who's a good friend of mine, maybe he has something to say. Oh, so Ariel, would you want to turn on your mic and share some thoughts about what we talked about?
Yes. Thank you so much. First, sorry about my English. It's not my first language, but I'll try to do my best with that.
Great.
And it's amazing, David, that you touch one of the most fascinating points in the Judaism. One of the questions that I think that start from the beginning of the creation. But before I touch with that, I want a little bit make something clear. I think, in my opinion, that happiness is not connected to anything except ourselves. Which means, if I think that something out of me will make me happiness, I probably gonna make the other person that's gonna live the life with me misery. Because I will always expect from him to make me happy, and it will never gonna be. So first of all, to understand that, we need first, when we get into relationship, we better understand how to make ourselves happy.
I agree with what you said. You know, it definitely is important to learn how to make yourself happy, for sure. And that the idea behind happiness is that it comes from our own self-satisfaction and our ability to take pride and to feel positive about what we're contributing and what it is that we bring to the relationship and how we positively affect the other person. That's such a key component of what it means to be happy. And I can just speak for myself. Maybe some other married people here can speak as well. Or even if you were in a nice relationship and there was positivity there, you know, most of us have found the most pleasure in relationship when they help make their partner happy, when they contribute to their partner's happiness. And that's a huge part of what it means to be a giving, connecting, intimate partner, is the joy that you feel in bringing a smile to your partner's face and making your partner have a better life and a more beautiful personhood now that you're in their life. So Asun, will you please share with us some thoughts?
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to say, like, the thing that you just said, I feel like, you know, there's a lot of like good teachings and like, you know, just books about these kinds of things. But like at the end of the day, I feel like there's just certain people that their favorite thing is to connect with people. You know what I mean? Like it just is what makes them feel the most complete. And I think for myself, I'm one of those people. Like I definitely have things that make me happy and everything. But to me, there's nothing more real per se. Like I could amass money or fame or whatever people feel like they want, and they're, you know what I mean, I could get all that, but I already know, like, I'm 24, but I literally know that having that wouldn't make me feel like as complete as being able to share that experience with someone that I love, you know what I mean? And not just the achievements, but the actual day-to-day. Like I feel like certain people just, that's just what, you know, we're like built to be, you know what I mean? And some people can like genuinely just completely be by themselves and all that, which is not a bad thing, but if it's what works for them. But like, I don't know, it's just like, you know, I feel like there's a duality to it. It's not that straightforward, because I look at, like, I've seen single people that are really happy single, and I've seen married people that are really happy married. So, but the happiness is like two completely different things. They function completely differently. You know, like my brother-in-law, for example, gets home, sees his wife, sees his kids, and that makes him extremely happy. And then like one of my best friends who's older than me gets home, finds nobody and just his cat, and, you know, plays his video games and works out, and he's literally just as happy, but they're completely different, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. I think that you probably missed the beginning part of the talk, or maybe you didn't miss it and you just maybe disagree with it, which is fine, which is that, you know, we need to qualify when we talk about happiness. We need to qualify when we talk about quality of life, and we can't equate, you know, playing video games and playing with your cat with supporting your wife and raising children. You know, and it could be that somebody may have a
jubilant look on their face.
It could be that somebody has a joyous look on their face or has a positive demeanor, but yeah, we have to recognize that there's a qualitative difference there, and there's mm-hmm. a depth of life and meaning and purpose that, and all aspects of our beinghood is not just in our brains. Your body craves it.
Yeah.
That desire that you have for unification with another person is not just some chemical that's being emitted in your mind that's unique to you.
Yeah.
We all have that. And those people who are choosing not to take advantage of that, or those people who have forsaken that, I'm not blaming anybody or trying to put anybody down. All I'm trying to say is that we don't want to turn that situation into an ideal or a virtue. That situation is...
I agree.
Oh, good.
I also agree.
Good. Honey, did you want to share some ideas?
Yeah, I feel like I don't believe that people can be happy while being single. I just feel like we're all somehow connected to each other and that we're made to connect with one another. I've personally never been happy when I was single, although I'm comfortable being alone, and I've been alone for a while, but like at the end of the day, you just want someone who's gonna be there for you, someone who's gonna listen to your problems, someone who's just gonna have your back. Like, this is why I disagree with like hookup culture, you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, of course.
Yeah, because it's just at the end of the day, none of these people personally care about you or how you're doing. It's just like a waste of time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's really interesting that you use the phrase waste of time, because that is very common, you know, especially for a woman. You mm-hmm. know, I talk about this in my last spaces, but a man will date a woman for a couple of years and feel like, wow, that was a great relationship. You know, we had good times and we enjoyed each other and we shared things. You know, we had great conversations and we took trips together. We had great sex. We just really, mm-hmm. you know, had a good time. A woman will look back at those last 2 years and say, wow, what a total waste of time. she's not going to look back and say, wow, those were good years. She's going to look back and say, wow, I can't believe I just waste. And she's going to say, I can't believe that he just wasted 2 years of my life. Not even that she did it. He just wasted 2 years of my life. And I just find that, you know, unfortunately, it's you know, there's a small part of that that's humorous. Mm-hmm. But I think it speaks to an inherent difference between feminine and masculine nature.
Yeah, that's so true. I think that both don't agree with each other. Every single person can have different opinions, whether they're male or female. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So good. Yeah, I appreciate your contribution and your honesty here about how you feel. I think a lot of people, especially women, share that same feeling that you do, mm-hmm. which is that, you know, something's missing in life if they're not actively in a relationship. Okay, I want to give maybe my friend Ariel a chance to respond again. He was cut off before, or inner practitioner. I'd love to hear something that you have to say. I know there are other people here. Rose, I'd love to hear you. You've been around for a while. We had Rubes a little bit earlier. I don't know if she's still here, but yeah. Ariel, maybe you want to share something, or we have Ming.
He's been here this whole time. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Yes.
Okay. All right. So I don't know where I've been cut off, but so what I started to say is that first, as a human being, to look for the happiness in someone else or get it from someone else, it cannot be. I remember I saw once on someone's door, it was a great sign that changed my life. It was said, don't look for the way for the happiness. Look at the happiness in the way. It means that the happiness is always here. It's something that you have to generate from yourself and to learn how to generate by yourself, not to make it dependent on something that outside of you. And when you if we bring our needs for happiness and throw it on the other side of us or the other side of the couple, right? And it's like if we're not getting it from that, then we're feeling like, hey, he's not doing his duty. I'm not happy because of him or because of her. So this is something that I think that everybody, before we get into relationship, try to understand how can I generate happiness from myself independently. Because if not, yeah. I'm just gonna be just gonna bring miserable into my marriage. And the second thing is, and that I think is the most important, is to understand first that happiness, it's not something that concern even to marriage, as far as I understand it, because marriage is something that it's nature, something that is been command to us to do, and of course it's for us, because it bring us into challenges in life that we will never be able to expose those layers in our soul or in our minds without being in this relationship called marriage, because those challenges that we have during the marriage are exposing those layers, and it's a marriage. Basically, it's a long journey. It's a long journey that sometimes is with love, sometimes is without love. Sometimes it can be with a lot of pain, but this pain, when you experience that together, it becomes something that makes the bond much more stronger, and then you feel much more one than two. So So first, we need to understand, and the in the Torah, in the Bible, it's there is amazing story that explain us, if we get into the deep level of it, explain us exactly what it's all about. And it says when by the Judaism, by the Kabbalah, and in the, all the Jewish books, it says that when Adam was in heaven, he was connected on his back with Eve, with Chava. And he could not face to face with her. Rashi.
Oh, I so want to hear you finish that story. It looks like you got disconnected again. I'm so looking forward to for you to finish that incredible story. We know that, that Adam and Eve were connected back to back, so their faces were actually facing the other way. And you know, I just wanted Ariel to finish that story. I think he's from South Africa. I guess they don't have good internet service over there. But he'll come back and share his story about that, because that was very compelling. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. One of the points that he was making, which is that, you know, marriage isn't really about happiness. We all want, of course, a happy marriage, for sure. That's so important. You know, it's part of what we want in life, right? We want joy and happiness, but that's not why we get married. That's not why we're in relationship. Relationship has a purpose to it, and it has a function that goes beyond us being happy in the moment. And that's really the message that we want to put out into the world, and the message that we want to share with ourselves, with our spouse, with, you know, that we want to embrace, that there's a point to why we're doing this that goes beyond my personal happiness at this moment in time. Let's remove happiness as the barometer of a successful relationship. Relationships should make you happy. They certainly shouldn't make you miserable, that's for sure. But there are going to be times in your relationship, especially if you're married long enough, that you are going to feel miserable. I work with a lot of couples, and sometimes, you know, one of the first things I ask them in the first session is I say, you know, because I meet with them individually, I don't meet them together. So I'll meet with the wife and I'll say, you know, do you love him? Do you love your husband? So there's usually a pause on the phone when I say that. And she goes, yeah, I love him, but I don't like him at all. And so there's a depth to the marriage that goes beyond how she's feeling about him at the very moment in time. You know, she's committed to the marriage, but her heart may feel a little bit uncomfortable at this very moment in time. And we need to normalize understanding that that's part of what it means to be in a relationship, that our relationship's going to go through those periods of time. Okay, I'd like to give maybe somebody else. Ning, you've been waiting so patiently to speak. I'd love to hear what you have to say. I'm not sure if you shared before, but if you want, you can turn on your speaker and share with us some thoughts. Hello.
Oh, hi. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Oh, hi. I believe that the decision, I believe our decision comes from our experiences.
Okay.
It comes from our experiences. You often hear women saying that I wasted four years of my life with this dude. So what's the point of being in another pointless relationship? You know, we sort of deprive and starve our desire for a meaningful relationship because of the agony and maybe the humiliation and misery that maybe we went through in the past. That's why I think people choose to just to be single, because they are scared, maybe, if I'm making sense. I think that's part of the reason why most young people, especially these days, choose to be single because of our past experiences or what we, you know, we are witnessing in our daily lives. We think we are better off being single than being in pointless relationship, you know, wasting 5 years of your life or 7 years of your life.
Totally, yeah. Totally. Thank you for sharing that. And that has been the experience of many people, unfortunately. So, you know, I would hope that all of us here that are on this particular spaces today can take it upon ourselves to, you know, give guidance and voice our opinions about what works. You know, if we've been in a relationship and it hasn't worked out, and if we've learned from that, we need to focus on what does work. We need to share with the youth and the younger generation and even our our associates and the people that we're with. You know, let's focus on things that do work. Let's focus on the basics: commitment, virtue, loyalty, honesty, you know, gratitude. Let's make that our mission, because to be honest, everything in the world starts with the family. You know, the politics, the social climates, the children, they all reflect what's going on at home. And we know better, and yet you weren't here for the beginning. We allow tweets like what I retweeted on Friday to go unchallenged. It's unspeakable. We need to stand up and say something. We need to do something. If you're somebody here who believes in relationships and the struggle and the purpose and the meaning and the beauty and the godly relevance of having a committed long-term relationship, of bringing beautiful children into the world, of that being part and sticking it through, fighting it out with your spouse if you have to, but never leaving. Heaven forbid cheating. I mean, what on earth? Right?
Oh my God, I really agree with that.
Good.
Like the cheating part specifically.
Yeah. We need to get up and speak. We need our voices to be heard. And speaking of voices to be heard, I'd love Inner Practitioner to share some of his wisdom with us.
I didn't know anything else. And then later on, I didn't know. I was unconsciously looking for my mother in other women to dominate me, control me. Because that's all I knew. And I thought that was happiness.
Yeah, definitely. That's fairly common. Did you want to share more about that, Inner Practitioner? I think you're breaking up just a little bit. But yeah, I'm going to ask Ariel to speak in a second, but I do want to comment on what he said. And that's one of the phases that men go through. So women, if you're listening, pay attention to this. One of the phases that men go through, especially in the beginning parts of their relationship, and this is just something that I believe and that I've seen in practice, and I think is important for us to understand, is that we look at our, I know this is going to sound like really creepy and gross, okay, but from a psychological perspective, it's fairly common to view the women in their lives, for men to view the women in their lives a little bit like a mother figure. And when I say a mother figure, I don't mean a mother figure in the sense that they are looking for them to do the laundry or cook them dinner, something like that. It's more like we look at the women in our lives as needing to give us unconditional love like a mother gives her son. And it's almost like when we get in a relationship, we expect the women in our lives to give us that unconditional love that we received as a child. And it feels so warm and connecting, right? It feels so warm and connecting, that love that the woman gives us. Now, what we're not realizing is that it's all make-believe in our heads. This is not what's going on at all. And the reality is that she's giving you a lot of love, but she's looking for you to be the man, right? She's looking for you to be like the leader and the man and the strong one in the relationship. So what ends up happening over a short period of time, well, I wouldn't say short. Usually I find that for men, they wake up somewhere in their early 40s. Women wake up a little bit earlier, but men wake up in their early 40s, and they realize that this woman is not giving them the love that they thought she was. And she rebels a little bit against that because she can sniff that out. She realizes that you're treating her weird, you know? And so she kind of puts a stop to it. Many men wake up and they say, hey, what happened to my relationship? What happened to this loving mommy that I thought was there? And that's when men start to transform. If they're lucky, they get the opportunity to transform from a boy to a man, where then all of a sudden they take on the leadership role in the relationship, and they wake up to that strength, that inner strength, that leader that's inside, and they start being the givers that God created them to be.
Yeah, then I was unconsciously looking for relationships because I thought I need to find someone to make me happy. I didn't know I was outsourcing my happiness onto others. So I was resonating with people who did exactly the same pattern, and that created so much stress, demands, and enmeshment of identities in this relationship. So that didn't work. So that took a lot of inner work and self-reflection.
Okay. All right. Well, Ariel, if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to hear, if you want to finish up what you were saying before, I'd love to hear what you're saying.
Yes, I hope that I will not have any more cut off.
No problem.
But yes, so in the Bible it says that Adam and Eve were connected in their back, in their spine, and they could not face to face to each other. And then it says in the Midrash that Adam was trying to have sex with all the animals, but he could not make his mind cool down. He could not be satisfied. He could not get into a relax. He could not get to a place that he feel complete, accomplished. And when that happened, God put him on a sleep, and he make like a surgery.
Sleep, yeah.
And he make a surgery. He cut aside. In the Bible, it said tzela. Tzela in Hebrew, it's also a side. It's not just a rib. So he cut them in the middle, in the spine. And now he creates two that can face to each other, that now they can communicate face to face. Now they can be accomplished because one of them is the one who accept, and the one of them is the one that influence. And this is what we need to understand first as a human being in this planet. What is our duties? What I'm present as a man, or what I'm present if I'm a woman? And from if I understand that as a woman, I need to be accept, I need to be able to accept the influence. And from the other side, the man need to be the one who bring the influence. And it have to be coordinate compared to the vessel. Then the whole game start to get changed.
Wow. That's really beautiful.
And the man and the woman in this planet, they are presented God and Earth. God, which is the influence, and Earth is the one who accepts the influence. And as much and if you will, we will see that it says that the man was asleep during that surgery. He could not feel the pain of the surgery. He could not feel the pain of the separation. But the woman, Eve, she was awake all this procedure. She was able to get contain the pain. And sometimes in a relationship, you can find out that like the woman is like getting crazy. She don't understand. How can't you feel what I'm saying? How can't you understand what's going on here? Because in this time, the man is asleep.
That's really intense. That's really intense, yeah. I appreciate everything about that very intense story, except for the part of Adam having sex with all the animals. That didn't sound too good. But besides for that, small detail, I really hear what you're saying, and it feels very, very powerful and very true. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, honestly, to my best understanding, God creates woman to help a man, you know. So if you have a good woman by your side as a man, it's a blessing, you know. And you guys can build a good home together. Because she's your partner to assist you to grow in life. You know, you have a bad woman, as a man, you are not going anywhere. But as a man, you have a good woman, you will succeed in life, and you guys will build a family together, a good home together. Because she is there by your side in terms of prayer and everything otherwise. And support too, you know. So why we go about providing and trying to protect them and you know, make sure there's food on the table and the woman by our side supporting us prayer-wise and, you know, encouraging us that, okay, you can do this.
Uh-huh. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I agree. That's beautiful, a beautiful idea. And that is part of also what it means to be in a loving, committed relationship is having that support by your side and being able to support others as well as you supporting and them supporting you. And that's I agree that, you know, yeah. That who you marry and who you choose to spend the rest of your life with, it makes a huge difference in your success. Yeah. Good. Well, thank you for sharing that, Daniel.
Yeah, very cool.
Okay, good. And Vic, I know that you wanted to share some things with us. What's going on with you?
Hi, yeah. Also, what Daniel's saying, I do feel like choosing a partner, definitely, it would have to be someone who is on the same wavelength as you. Someone that, you know, you guys come together as one, not one you really have to change anything or change anything about you, being fully yourself with. I feel like that's really, really important. And yeah, just someone who accepts you for you, because that's really all that matters. What comes with you is what they love about you. And yeah, I think Daniel did make some pretty good points. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Of course. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. You know, that's definitely an important, a wishful thought, you know, just to share with you what I've experienced as a marriage therapist, I would say that there's two levels of acceptance, right? So there's the acceptance of your partner as your soulmate, which means that you're making a commitment that this soul that's wrapped up in this body is mine, is now my partner for life. And I am going to learn to accept everything about them that that defines who they are, right? There's that level of acceptance. And then there's like the day-to-day more practical or superficial or external aspects of our personalities and our way of being and our histories. And that's harder for people to, and that's harder for people to accept. And I believe that marriage is in many ways the, so to speak, unification and purification of our differences, right? So if my partner has a way of communicating which doesn't work for me, so I need to, while at the same time accepting them for who they are, I need to also communicate with them, and it could be that I request change, you know, and then that partner is open to change. So it may look like I'm not accepting that partner, you know, like quote unquote, all that who they are, but it's not. I've accepted them soul wise. I've accepted them relationship wise. I've accepted them as my soulmate. But this journey of marriage is most likely not going to be one of complete acceptance. It's going to be one where there's a lot of challenges to who you are as a person and the way you show up in life, for sure. Yes, Vic, did you want to respond back to that?
Yeah, I definitely feel like relationships are work. No matter what, a relationship is going to be work. It is a full-time job. Yeah. It is a full-time job. I just came out of a 4-year relationship, so I can understand how much time and effort you put into this person and how much you have to intertwine them into your own life. And it's work. It is so much work.
Yeah, for sure.
So I completely understand the levels of acceptance and accepting, like, you know, it's not always going to be how you want it to be. It's unrealistic. No relationship is perfect, but you have to be willing to sacrifice and make changes for your person. And I feel like if you're not willing to do that, then you shouldn't be in a relationship.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you have to be ready to do that. Thank you so much for sharing. Tony has been asking so kindly to speak. I'd love to hear what you have to say, Tony.
Well, hello. How's your day going, man?
Great.
I just wanted to touch on the fact that the title of this, like, this podcast is "Can You Be Single and Happy?" And you know, I just got out of a 2.5-year relationship. My girlfriend, she decided to do it like over text while she was at work. She ended up dating this, like, it just, like, you know, man. I've been out of it for like 4 or 5 months, but it just seems like every time I try to get into like one, like, a serious relationship with a female, It's just games, you know, like, it's just the runaround, like the same old thing. Like, they be only fansing it up, but it's like, I don't know, they be trying to say they're doing, it's hard, man. It's really hard.
Yeah.
Like, hey, but that's why I just persistently, like, just worry about myself and like my future and stuff like that. Like, cause I'm 22 years old and I've had a lot of stuff happen to my life, but I'm very grateful for like where I've been able to put myself in, like, the position to be happy, position to be financially stable, not have to work a 9-to-5, like, That type of stuff really is like what keeps me happy. You know what I mean? It's not really like the connection the female has. It's more about, all right, well, I got this money bag. I'm not really, you know, I can't be really, like, I don't know. It's hard, bro.
Yeah. I hear you. And my heart does go out to everybody, especially people in the younger generation. I mean, you're 22 and you're just starting out in life, and my heart goes out to you. And I did read, I took a look at your profile before I asked you to speak, and I saw what you have on the header over there on your profile, and that sucks. I just have to be honest with you. That really sucks, and I'm really sorry that happened to you. And I can promise you one thing, though. Hang around my feed a lot. You know, just hang around me and my feed, and there's tons of women that are looking for an honest, hardworking, successful, smart, good-looking, I can see your avatar if that's you, good-looking guy like you that are willing to give you, like, their life, okay? So hang in there. You're going to find her. She's going
to
find you.
Oh, yeah. I'm already knowing. There ain't no rush to that. That's what exactly what I'm getting at. Like, I almost rushed, like, out of here. Like, you know what I mean? I almost went and bought a house in Texas, but instead I stayed here in California and, like, settled down. You know what I mean? But it's just... It's hard, bro.
Yeah, it's hard. Well, good for you.
You can have a love for 2.5 years, and then she could just one day text you while she at work and just say, "Yeah, I don't want to see you no more." Like,
type stuff. Terrible, terrible.
Yeah, terrible, bro. Yeah. All that time for what?
Yeah, totally. Sorry about that, man. Keep up the hustle.
No, I'm already knowing, brother. Every day.
Yeah.
Even today. All right, man.
All right, you take care. Thank you, Shaseel. Did you want to, the silent wave, did you want to share some stuff with us?
Hi. Hi. So I'm just going off of the title. So it says, can you be single and happy? And I think that you can be happy doing anything. Connections are important in life. And You know, I feel like in order to be happy in a relationship, you have to be happy single. You know, like you have to be happy with yourself because you're not supposed to depend on other people for happiness, you know, because that's your responsibility. Like people are just supposed to add on to your happiness, you know, if that's what you want. And to be honest, like relationships and stuff and dating and stuff like that, it's a lot different these days because we have access to so much more than a lot of people did back in the day. You know, like we have a lot more technology, you know, a lot more spaces, like a lot more, you know, we just have a lot more opportunities and stuff. And it makes it easier for people to do things that they shouldn't do, you know, within relationships and stuff. And also too, a lot of people aren't willing to do like any inner work. You know, I feel like I'm really big on encouraging people to try therapy. Like even if they don't necessarily like it at first, I feel like it's important to try it at least because you get to, you know, you get to find out different parts of yourself, you know, like why, you know, why am I like this? You know, like and even things that you feel like don't affect you, like they can come out in different ways. And, you know, you just don't want to go through life bleeding onto everyone just because of like one or a few bad experiences, you know, because we can't say everyone is the same because we have never dated everyone, you know, like I feel like everyone should just try to at least work on themselves first before they try to get into a relationship. And relationships are more than just, you know, love. Like, you know, they require a lot of work. And I think that's why a lot of relationships ultimately fail, because people, they go into relationships as individuals instead of trying to, like, sink together, you know? So they kind of don't understand that their partner, they have different needs and stuff, you know, and just because they love them and they're showing them, that doesn't mean that they feel it. Like it requires a lot of communication and, you know, open-mindedness that a lot of people unfortunately aren't gonna reach in this lifetime if they don't really want to. But yes, and going back to the question, I do believe you can be single and happy. It opens a lot of doors for you, and especially when you're young too. Like you should try to find yourself and explore life, and I feel like being yourself, the right person will follow and find you.
Awesome. That's such a positive message. I really like that, you know, and I agree. I mean, we do have to have achieve some level of emotional maturity and self-awareness, you know, before we just jump into a relationship. Otherwise, we're going to just bring all of our problems. I mean, we bring enough problems as is to the marriage, that's for sure. But if we have no self-awareness or no life goals or no personal experience, or we have no values that we own for ourselves, that's just going to show up as a wrecking ball in our relationship. We have a few people that wanted to share here. I'd like to call on Elizabeth since she raised her hand, and then Ason also at some point raised his hand. So Elizabeth, how you doing? You want to chat with us a little bit some more?
Yeah. So something that I'm also thinking a lot about is that I don't necessarily believe that you can't be happy if you're single, but I think I do come from the opinion that most people, and I don't know, I would argue even everyone in a good relationship with somebody whose energy bounces off of theirs and works well with them, I think objectively anybody would be happier because you're sharing your happiness with someone else. Something my husband actually said while he's sitting there listening with me, and he's smirking now, but something he said is, you know, it's kind of like living life in black and white and not really missing color because you've never experienced color and you've never seen color. You've never seen it, so you don't really miss it. And then when you experience it, when you experience being in a really fulfilling, happy relationship, you can't even imagine going back to living in black and white and not having that person and that soulmate to share your happiness with. So I think that, like I said, I am not necessarily of the opinion that nobody can have any happiness or any fulfillment if you're single, but I think having somebody to share it with you who connects with you on all fronts is always kind of what we're all ultimately working toward and ultimately like really the ideal situation for everybody. Even if you can feel okay when you're single, being in a relationship, in a good relationship with someone who really loves you and who you really love, I think is kind of the goal and for all of us.
Yeah, I heard everything you said. I agree with you. And that's the point. The point is that we strive to be in that beautiful relationship, and we strive to, you know, and we have to have, of course, empathy and sympathy for people who are struggling with that, of course, and we all do struggle with that. There's no judgment here. It's just the point of this particular space, as you mentioned, and as other people have mentioned, is, you know, to put our heads on straight. You know, what's the ideal? What's the goal? What's purpose? What's meaning? Why are we here on this planet? How do we fulfill our mission? You know, these are all things that come to fruition and come to their greatest sense of meaning and purpose through an intimate, long-term, committed relationship. And for those of us who are in them, it's up to us to share, you know, how we do it and how it works. And for those of us who have tried it and have had, you know, not such great experiences, we need to get back, you know, pull ourselves up as best as we can, start surrounding ourselves with the proper influences to make sure that the next time around, you know, we have the proper values. You know, watching TV and watching movies and hanging around certain groups on Twitter is not going to lead you in that direction. You know, of course, I love romantic comedies as much as anybody else, and I watch movies and things like that. So I'm not, but, you know, we need to surround ourselves with people and messages that are going to lead us in that, in to the destination that we want to end up in ourselves. That's very, very important. And certainly the articles that I retweeted saying I'm single and I'm happy about being single, 37 single and happy about being single, that type of message is not one that's, in my opinion, emotionally healthy or satisfying long-term or even short-term, you know? So, Elizabeth, I think your point is very well taken. I know there are some people here that do want to share some more thoughts. Let me go ahead, and I know Asson, you wanted to share. Can you share with us some of your thoughts, Asson?
Yeah. Thank you. It's also Asen, by the way, or just Asen.
Thank you.
But yeah, I'm actually also in South Africa, like everybody else. But I just grew up in America. And all that stuff. I was just like letting the people know. But yeah, the thing I wanted to say is like kind of like what Vic said and Elizabeth said and the side, like everybody's been kind of just killing it right now. And it's just about like, I just feel like for my, like I'm 24. So like, I just feel like my generation is like, it's a little bit harder to like focus on the right thing before you know what the right thing is. Cause there's so many like, just like literally how life is set up is like kind of meant to like distract you from like knowing these principles and having these, you know, these ideals that you're supposed to have an actual working relationship. And by the time, like, I feel like girls get their first, you know, they get their first, and like by the time the dude gets there, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's already messed it up with that girl or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's what happened with me. And then when you do now know what you're supposed to be doing or what you should be along those lines, it's like the people that would align with what you're on are like what you were to that other person. And it's like a chain. It's like a cycle. You know what I'm saying? And it's like by the time you end up like really wanting that thing, you're now just fearful because you're going to, like how Tony McFly was saying, like his girl just called him. And after a 2-year relationship, was like, yo, I don't want to do this. And he might have no idea what even triggered that, like, and it might be something that has nothing to do with him. It could be something that has to do with him, but it could be, like, something just that, like, this generation is just, like, all twisted up and, you know, confused. And the last thing I wanted to say is I feel like a lot of these things happen because, like, in the back of our minds, we're doing this, like, mathematics the whole time. We're trying to calculate, is this the right decision? Like, are these 3 years I'm going to put in, 4 or 5 years that I'm going to put in? And this is for any generation. Like, is it going to count for something, because I don't want to, you know, be posting quotes like, oh, things happen for a reason, because in reality that stuff just sucks, you know, when it happens, right, or if it happens.
Of course.
So like, yeah, that's just me.
Thank you. And Ace, I really appreciate all the wisdom you've been sharing here today and your honesty. And yeah, I hope you stick around for some of my other spaces, because you're adding a lot. So I appreciate that. Let's see. We have Chasile. Did you want to share something? And then I want to let Lee Open also speak. But you, maybe you want to reply to what he was saying, Chasile? Or Thasile? The silent wave. That's who I mean.
Okay, sorry. So, like, I heard you say that, like, people, it, like, it's not emotionally healthy for people to be, like, alone for, like, long periods of time and stuff like that. I think that, like, when people, when they say, like, I'm single and happy, like, it can be a positive thing, but I think that the negative comes when certain women, like, and men, like, they get into this mindset where they're like, oh, I don't need anyone, you know, like, I don't need a man, I don't need a woman. But, you know, like, in reality, we're humans, you know, like, we're never wired to be, like, alone. Like, yeah, we may die alone, but in life, it's, isn't that about, like, making connections and stuff and, you know, learning and growing and stuff like that. And how are you supposed to learn and grow if you're, like, in hermit crab mode your whole life? You know, that's not really living, you know. And I think that it is healthy to be alone for periods of time, because in those times you can get a lot done. You know, like, if you're working on yourself or working towards something, or, you know, like, you know, just trying to reinvent yourself a bit, it is necessary. And not even just intimate wise, platonically too, like, it's necessary to get away from people, like friends, family, and take some time for yourself. Because when you don't get time for yourself, it's easy to, like, fall into toxic habits and fall into it with toxic people, because you're all focused on them and you're not focused on what it is you want, what it is you need. You
know? Sure, sure. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I totally appreciate what you're saying. And I think that a lot of other people here also hear what you're saying. And yeah, there's always purpose and meaning to all the different phases of our life, you know. And as so many people here have said, we feel oftentimes so not in control. Like, we never know when we're going to meet that person, or we don't know if the work that we're doing is going to be the thing that's going to help us bring us to the next level. And pardon me for saying it, I've never been a big fan of people who say, you know, just ask the universe and the universe will respond. It's just not my way. But, you know, and I love what you said. You know, we do die alone, but life takes on a different dimension, as Elizabeth was saying, when we share our lives with others. And it's just so important to value that and to share that value, especially today more than ever, because, like you said, there's so many messages that people are expressing that go contrary to that. And then those of us who feel differently and know better, we just sit there silently and allow that garbage to take over the public space, you know. And then people read that, and I'm talking about people who are already married. They read that and they start saying to themselves, you know what, maybe it's better if I wasn't. Maybe I want to be like that 37-year-old girl and just be, like, happy by myself. You wouldn't believe what I hear, you know. And so it's up to us to get up and say, you know, enough is enough. You know, I've had relationships. They haven't worked out the way that I've wanted, but I'm not giving up on what it means to have a life partner. I may be working on myself right now. I may be in between partners. Like, there's a famous thing when people ask about employment status and you say you're a consultant, right? Those of you who aren't in the business world may not appreciate this, but everybody knows what a consultant is, right? A consultant means that you're fired from your last job and you're looking for your new job. that's what a consultant means. Self-employed. Right? Self-employed. Okay, but at least they call themselves self-employed. They don't say, I'm, you know, or they even call themselves unemployed, right? Unemployed means that you still believe in employment, you're just currently not employed. No one walks around saying, well, I'm just living off the government and I'm happy with that. No one holds their head up high and says, that's who I am. Right? So we don't want to allow relationships to decline into that place where it's just like, okay, well, I can't get along with anybody. And the last time I tried, I really got hurt. So therefore I no longer, I'm perfectly fine never connecting with another human being in an intimate way again. That's fine. No. You know, we need to honor people's experiences, have compassion for people who have that experience, never judge anybody for being in that situation. If anything, like I said, empathize and sympathize with people in that situation and create a world and an environment where we change that. Just to recap, yes, of course, you can be single and happy. Of course, happiness is derived from so many aspects of life, for sure. And at the same time, it's important for us to understand and appreciate the depth of meaning, purpose, and pleasure that we gain from being in a long-term committed relationship. So God bless everybody. I hope everybody has a fantastic day. I really appreciate everyone opening up and sharing their stories. And you can find me here on Twitter at David Feldman, or you can go to my website, davidfeldman.com. There's tons of great articles and blog posts as well as podcasts. All of these spaces will be posted on Spotify very shortly, and along with all my other spaces. So if there's some content that you're looking for, I've got tons of great stuff. And God bless everyone and continue having a great weekend. Okay, take care.